Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and I know you do, be a pal, tell a friend so my friends and family will think I actually have a real job one of these days. Today, we are talking with Jeff from Simply Clean Janitorial. Jeff's been in business since 1999. After Hurricane Katrina, Jeff simplified his business to just commercial office cleaning. If you want to reach out to Jeff and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.simplycleanjanitorial.com. www.simplycleanjanitorial.com. Jeff, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, how are y'all doing?
I'm going to answer for them, and they're doing okay. You know, it's after the holidays. They've picked up a little weight. Life's good. They're kind of excited to get back into work, but a little bummed out. How's that? Is that a good for making something up?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. But, well, I'm the only guy with a bike, so I guess we're stuck with that. Before we jump into the coaching and stuff, I'm fascinated to hear a little bit about your story. What part of the world are you in? I heard this Hurricane Katrina. I would love to hear that story. Tell us a little bit about the backstory of Simply Clean Janitorial.
I am about 40 minutes north of New Orleans, Louisiana, in Mandeville. And Katrina, of course, slowed down everything and kind of shut down a lot of the city for about a month. So we kind of had to make some adjustments and change things up. And it was a hard time, but we made it through. Of course, lost plenty of offices that were flooded and all that kind of stuff. But we're rolling. We're doing okay now.
So in the introduction, we said that kind of got you to simplify your business. How did that happen? Were you kind of doing too many things and you simplified? I'd love to hear. It sounds like there's a lesson in there, and I want to make sure Cleaning Nation gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, before Katrina, we were involved in new home construction, cleanup from start to finish. We were doing maid service. We were doing waxing, stripping of floors, plus commercial cleaning and commercial construction cleaning. So as you can see, I had crews day and night and all kind of stuff. And I was working, you know, 15, 16 hours a day trying to keep up with it. So once, you know, Katrina hit, obviously a lot of that stuff stopped. So I kind of picked what part of the industry made my life simplest and what I could handle. And I just focused on that and kind of stopped doing majority of the other stuff to where I just focus on nightly office cleaning.
Man, I love hearing that story because I'm constantly telling people, I never coach anyone to be like, hey, you're doing janitorial, let's throw in maid service and construction cleanup and disaster recovery and duct cleaning and carpet cleaning and let's strip some floors. And that's usually what most of my customers are doing. So, and they look at me like I'm crazy, like, wait, I can make more money doing less stuff. So thank you for, you know, I promise I didn't put them up to this, but thank you for sharing that message because I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it was really nice for me too, because I got my life back. Because, you know, when you're stripping floors, you're in the middle of the night. When you're doing construction cleanup, you're doing that during the day. Maid services during the day. Your phone never stops. So it was a blessing in disguise to stop all that stuff. And now I can focus on that one part of my business. I know when my work hours are going to be, and my employees are better trained and able to handle what they're doing.
Yeah, well said. So, and I couldn't agree more. I'm always a big fan of it doesn't matter how much money we're making. If our life's miserable, that's not what we're going for. So it sounds like the big win was you kind of went from pulling your hair out 24/7 kind of a life to a little bit more stable. You know, when you work and you know, when you're off, did the finance follow or did that kind of stay the same?
Well, in the beginning, of course, the finances totally dropped off. And what I found happened was I was better able to manage what I was spending. And so when I would bid out a job or when I would take on a new job, I was able to focus on that. And I find that my profit margin now is better than it was when I was making almost twice as much money. So that to me is nice too.
Man, I'll take, if I can cut my gross sales in half and just keep my money the same, I'll take that deal every day of the week. I don't care about being a $5 million company. I'll be the $500,000 company making $400,000 in profit as opposed to the $5 million company making $400,000 in profit.
Right. That's the way I see it now too. It took me a little while to learn it, but and I learned it the hard way, but I'm glad I figured it out.
Well, and truly thank you for that, because that's why I do this podcast is, you know, I do enough speaking and coaching, yada, 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 and I get sick of hearing my own voice. So it's nice to hear other ladies and gentlemen in the business that can kind of share, you know, their own experience from different perspectives. So I really think that's going to bring a lot of value to those out there listening that are willing to kind of take it to heart. So thank you for sharing that. And in that spirit, thank you so much for contributing. What can I do to contribute to you? How can I help you or coach you today?
Well, the biggest thing for me is, you know, is it worth advertising on the internet to get leads or, you know, make sure your business is seen out there? Because you, especially in my market, I'm not in a huge market. I can't refer everything off of leads. So I'm looking, trying to make that decision. Is that a way I could spend money without it being wasteful?
Man, that is such a good question. And just in the pre-show kind of chat we had a couple minutes right before hit record, Jeff said something that I've heard before and I want to repeat because I'm sure a lot of you out there that resonates with. He's like, I can't go a day without getting 5 or 10 calls. Oh, you got to do SEO. You got to let me do your pay-per-click, Google, Facebook. Yeah, you know, so there's no shortage of people out there trying to hawk their crap.
Right.
Yeah, and it's tough because it's not like any of those are inherently good or bad where I can say, oh, search engine optimization is not worth it or is worth it, because those are both right depending on who you are and where you are and who's doing it along with the rest. So let's dive into that a little bit and hopefully clear that up, not only for Jeff, but everyone listening. So one of the foundational concepts I want to communicate, and I start with this every time this question comes up because it comes up a lot, is a lot of people see online, and I think, I don't know why it is, if it's these SEO nerds that don't know how to, sorry, SEO nerds, and I'm an SEO nerd too, so I have the right to call you all that. We don't know how to communicate to regular human beings or what, but a lot of small business owners, not just cleaning company owners, but small business owners kind of feel like it's this magical, mystical place out there where, you know, I've got a Facebook account and I can tweet and there's social media and there's paid and there's search engine optimization and search engine marketing and there's just so much stuff and I don't really get it. And then they're kind of stuck with, well, I'm just going to pay this guy to handle it. And if you get a good guy that knows what he's doing and knows your business and cares, sometimes it can work out. You get a shark that doesn't know or doesn't care, or some combination of both, you get ripped off and it's confusing. Is that, am I overstating it, or is that kind of how you feel?
That's exactly how I feel. I don't know who to look at or who to trust. In the olden days, we had one thing. You paid the yellow pages and your ad was in there along with everybody else. And that's how people were reaching you. Now, I have no idea.
And you couldn't trust that guy either. He charged you, you know, $3,000 a month for a little square and a million little pages. but at least everybody couldn't trust him.
Right.
We're all in the same boat.
Right. Yeah. Everybody was in the same place. Right.
So thank you for sharing this. So let me kind of lay the foundation first, which is a little bit, I try to start kind of philosophical and then move tactical. So I promise I'll give you some real hard answers, but let's get the philosophy down first, because this is really important. A big key is a lot of people think this web advertising is the internet or social media or any of these are just a whole different animal, right? Like, you made a great point, Jeff, of I get the yellow pages. I give you money. You print out an ad. A lot of people come to the ad and for the money, you distribute a bunch of things where people are going to go to and they'll call me. I get that. It makes sense. Well, honestly, the internet, whether it be social media, paid advertising, search engine optimization, is really just the same thing. So the first thing I encourage, especially older cleaning owners of cleaning companies or guys or gals that just don't get it or are uncomfortable with that conversation, is you know advertising. If you had some success in this business, you know how to attract customers and the blocking and tackling, the basics of that. It's the same online as offline. Don't be fooled with a lot of the big words and the terminology that people use. It's just another channel. So there's no such thing as, should I be online or not? Well, I don't know. Should you be on the yellow pages? Some should, some shouldn't. Should you be on direct mail, door hangers, telemarketers, events? There's a thousand ways to go. And I think with the offline stuff, we kind of have this understanding of, well, I hang a door hanger and I say, I provide the service. If you'd like it, reach out and talk to me. I get that. But on the internet, it seems confusing. So I just want to encourage everybody. It's really the same thing. So the three foundational things that you need to know on any sort of marketing message that you're going to do, whether it's online or offline, is A, you got to know who your customer is. And Jeff, you're already, light years ahead of a lot of people I talk to. Because again, anytime I kind of onboard a coaching client or I'm doing a coaching call, I say, who's your target client? And I hear stuff like, well, commercial cleanup and houses and janitorial. And so it's really hard to craft a message to a housewife along with a high-powered attorney who is single, along with a guy that owns a business, along with a property manager, along with the construction, and on and on and on. You can't do that. So knowing who your customer is very specifically is step one, online or offline, right? That's the other thing. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to give a bunch of money to some search engine guy. And you know, they kind of want to say, just give me a couple grand a month or whatever the case may be. And I'm just going to flood your life with traffic or with calls. That might be the case. But if you don't know who your customer is and you're just getting calls from, you want to do 5,000 to 20,000 square foot janitorial offices 5 days a week. And you just get calls from Mrs. Johnson who wants you to come clean her kitchen. That's not really valuable. So the first thing is you've got to know your customer. Second thing is you've got to know their pain. You've got to be able to speak to that, right? You've got to have messaging that's compelling to them, whether it's online or offline. If you can't identify some sort of pain or solution in your customer's life, it doesn't matter, online or offline, you're going to fail either way. So that's what you've got to do. And the third is you've got to get a message that matches both. So you've got to speak to the right person in the right place with the right message. So the first two things you need to conquer before you get to the right place are the right person. Who am I trying to speak with? What's their pain? Based on that, what is the right message for that pain? And once you've got those two things down, now you're really equipped to answer the question, where should that message be given, right? Where do these people congregate, right? Should I be on Pinterest? Well, I don't know. If you're selling to Fortune 500 companies and they're all 60-year-old white guys, probably not. If you're selling to housewives, Pinterest is a great opportunity. So that's the foundation. Before I move on to the next, is that make sense? Does that help demystify, or did I just make the subject more confusing?
No, that does make a lot of sense, because when I think about being online, I know who my customers are, and now I kind of know that, okay, well, maybe I need to figure out what those customers want to hear, and that's going to have to be my message to get their attention.
Which is so wise, because online might be the best thing since sliced bread for Jeff and his company, or it might be terrible, but you're never going to know if your message is bad. If you put a bad message online, it really doesn't matter, which sucks, because you might get out there and go, oh, I tried online, it didn't work. Or fill in the blank. I tried direct mail. I tried cold calling. I tried emailing. I tried whatever. Well, if your message was no good, doesn't matter what you try, you're going to be confused and think nothing works. So I think it's very wise of you to say, well, I need to know my message first. Then the question I would ask you, and we're going to move right into tactical here, is are your customers, and we don't have to get into super deep on, here, but are your customers online? Do they do, not just for their janitorial services, do they do searching? Do they do research? Do they buy? Do they look online for resources or not?
That's a big question. I would assume most of them are online, and with their business being online, as most businesses are, I would think that they would go to online to search.
All right, I'm going to give you a super ninja tactic you can all write down for free. Don't tell anyone. Ask them. Hey, where do you get stuff when you want to learn about anything, whether it be commercial cleaning or car tires or hiring people? Where do you go? And don't say, do you go online? Because they're going to say, yes. So where do you go to research this or make a buying decision or whatever? And if they say online, well, then your customers are online. If not, maybe you can save yourself some dollars. So that's that. Now that said, let's move forward. So now that we've agreed, we know who our customer is and we know what their pain is, and we've got a message that speaks to that pain, and that our any advertising or messaging we do online or offline is going to fail until we get those bases covered, we're going to assume that you've got those covered. And honestly, Jeff, it does sound, obviously we'd have to talk more to know if your message is right, but at least you've got step one if you know who your customer is, which is fantastic. So the next step is kind of to say, okay, do I need to be online or not? And I would ask my customers, where do you get information? Where do you learn? Where do you search? Where do you buy things? And if they talk about online, then that's a good indicator. If they don't, they don't. The next thing is I would definitely have a minimum standard. So even if your customer's not generally online, or you don't want to go full out search engine optimization, or you know Google AdWords or Facebook or any of this pay-per-click marketing or any of that sort of stuff, there's still a minimum standard that you kind of have to play by. Like it used to be 20 years ago, if you had a cell phone, that was awesome. And if you don't, well, that's too bad. Now, if you don't have a cell phone, that's kind of how the world works, right? Like it's not, or a fax, or even email. If you say, well, I don't email, well, that's fine, but the rest of the world does. So even if you're kind of not online and your customers don't buy online, someone in their organization probably is going to check you out online. So you've got to have a minimum standard. What I recommend for that is a clean website. Doesn't have to be 100 pages in search engine optimization, but it just has to be clear. And just like we talked about, it has to have a message that speaks to your customer. And the reason you want to do that is, like for you, Jeff, if you don't do any residential, you'd want to be real clear. It's okay if you offend housewives or, you know, single guys that have a bunch of money that want their house, whatever the pay. If you make it real clear, we're not for you, that's great. It's going to save a bunch of time and resources for your staff trying to deal with those people that you can't help. So the big thing with the website is it's got to be clean, it's got to be clear, and you've got to be very clear about this is who we help and this is how we help them and this is the pain that we understand. And a secondary benefit is kind of a back message of, we don't really help these people. You probably want to keep looking if you're that. Second thing is a Facebook page. And a lot of people get a little scared and a little worried, but you can have one of these set up for free, or if you want to pay someone, it's going to be very inexpensive. And again, you don't have to post on it all the time or be super active or get in. There's a lot of things that you can do to supercharge that, but you want to at least have a page, because people are going to look for you on Facebook. And if you don't have a page, that's generally a problem. And then bonus, if you want to have a Twitter account, that's kind of nice. And again, if you don't want to tweet and all that stuff, that's fine. But at least when people look and see you have an account, try and get 100 followers or something, and you look like a legitimate business. So those are kind of the minimum standard that you're going to want to get, whether or not your customers are online. And the last thing I would say is reputation management is the one thing I would say is non-negotiable. So it's another thing, if you're older and say, my customers aren't online, so I don't care if I've got 20 bad Yelp reviews or Angie's List or whatever the case may be, that's going to be a problem. So you don't have to. And again, there's definitely times if your customer's online and they're searching, and if you talk to a search engine optimization guy or company, that's the first thing you ask. Well, how many searches are coming? How many customers are looking? And that data is actually findable online. So that helps. If there's a lot of search volume, you know your customers are online. If there's very little search volume, you know that your customers are not online. But the last thing is reputation management. That's the one place you must be online, and you've got to take charge of that. If people are saying bad things, you need to respond lovingly, kindly. And a better strategy still is to bury the internet with so many good, positive reviews that the bad reviews kind of get pushed to the bottom. So that's a little of the tactical side. Brad, question, or I'm sorry, Jeff, questions, comments, rude remarks on anything I've said?
No, I love all of it. And the thing with the reputation management, I'm big on that. I try to make sure every client's happy. So I definitely do that one. And everything else you've said, I pretty much have. I have to go back and look at my message and make sure it's hitting the right people. That's the one thing to me that I need to look at.
Which brings up a great point, and then we're going to move to the lightning round because I don't want to run too long. But the biggest thing about any sort of marketing endeavor, online, offline, it really doesn't matter, is testing. So that's really what you need to know. So if I would be testing the message that you've got. So ideally, if we're going to spend any money, and this is another problem I don't like, doesn't matter if it's online, offline, SEO, billboard, direct mail guy, anybody that's trying to sell you any services, we are too small. You do not pay for branding. Oh, we're going to get your name out there. We're going to get good name recognition. You don't want any of that crap. You want people to call in and ask to do business for you. That is what you pay for. If you get branding as a bonus, great. No problem. We'll take it for free. But nobody buys branding. We only buy stuff that we can test and track. We only do what the world knows as direct response marketing. So I put out an ad, and I know definitively X amount of people emailed in asking for information, called in asking for information. What else? Called a recorded message, sent back a thing I asked them to send back. Somebody took an action. So I know I spent $1,000 on this. I got 32 phone calls. Of those 32 phone calls, 12 turned into bids. Of those bids, 3 turned into customers, and I can get an actual return on investment. So I want to encourage you, Jeff, as well as Cleaning Nation, when you do this stuff, don't just try one thing. You're like, well, I'll try a different message. You've got to be able to track. And it doesn't matter if the customers go, oh, I like that ad, I don't like that ad, or your wife or your kids or your in-laws say, oh, this is a good ad, this is a bad ad. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is what it performs. And the only way you can get that is if you track. So rant over. Jeff, okay. Hopefully that's been really helpful. We're going to turn the tables and give you an opportunity to serve Cleaning Nation with some of your genius. I'm going to give you 3 quick questions. You're going to give 3 stupendous okay. answers. Question 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Don't overextend myself. And it took me a long time to figure that one out, as I explained. And now I'm actually able to have a better life. I'm health coaching along with doing my janitorial and feeling better. So don't overextend myself. That was a big thing. And it took me a while, but I did it.
Most of the good things do, my friend. Great advice. Don't overextend yourself. I'm going to repeat that because that was so well said. Question 2, what is the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business that we in Cleaning Nation can all learn from?
I trusted someone when they were like, oh, I need this done right away. Sometimes as a business owner, you need to step back and evaluate the entire situation and then don't just go in and try to make money and profit. You have to really look at the situation, see if it's going to work for you.
Sounds like that dovetails
nicely.
It
only happened once.
What's that?
It only happened once, so that's good.
I was going to say, that advice sounds like it dovetails nicely with some wise advice I got from a smart guy that said, don't overextend yourself. So it sounds like those go together pretty well, my friend. All right, cool. Last question. What's the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice right now, today, to most drastically improve their lives and or their business?
Simplify your job. Make your job as simple as possible so you can be there to really listen to employees, customers, whatever it is.
Man, it sounds like you've almost like had a theme prepared for these lightning round. You really crushed it, Jeff. I got to say, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation definitely appreciate you. When you want to check out Jeff's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, you can do it at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.